so that's the beginning of a new era as well for us. Okay, please turn your Bibles to this passage, Luke chapter 12, verses 8 to 12. We are in a series at Beacham BC going through the Gospel of Luke in chapel. We only have chapel twice a week, and the Gospel of Luke is the longest book in the New Testament. So we've been in Luke, I think, almost 3 years now, maybe less. But this is a passage that was left for me to do. And as I studied this, this helped me. Because typically, none of us want to be persecuted. None of us want to be killed for our faith in Christ. Although there were some in church history that valued that as the way to get real reward in heaven is to be martyred for their faith. But that is not my desire. In fact, to be very candid with you, there's a dream that I have had like three or four times. This is not a vision or new revelation or anything, but it is a dream that I've had at least three or four times in my life, and it's the same dream of me being martyred for my faith. And God does tell me what I already know. I don't want to be killed for my faith. I'm afraid of martyrdom. But in Luke chapter 12, verses 8 to 12, Jesus addresses that. And if you look at the context first, the previous paragraph, verses 4 to 7, Jesus is telling his disciples not to fear those who are hostile to the truth. In verses 4 to 7, twice Jesus says, "Be not afraid." Verse 4 and verse 7, "Fear not." And three times in those verses, Jesus said, "Fear God." So don't fear God's enemies, fear the Lord. And part of fearing God, not man, is speaking for God before man. If we truly fear God, not people, we will speak for God before people. Luke 12, 8 to 12. Jesus said, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say." Now, this paragraph has three parts. So three parts. Verses 8 to 9, to publicly confess Christ or speak about Christ, not deny him. Verse 10, speaking against Christ can be forgiven, but blaspheming the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven, Jesus says in verse 10. And the third part of verses 11 to 12, if you speak to hostile authorities, God will give you what to say. And if you look at all those three parts, they all have a common topic of speaking about Christ before people. You see that in every one of those lines. Speaking about Christ to people. Now, we may never have to stand before a government official who wants to kill us for our faith. But all of us, each week, each day, probably, we face the choice to either confess Christ to somebody or not, to be silent. Either to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who spoke up for God and expressed their devotion to Christ, or to be like Peter and deny Christ and fail to give a clear gospel witness in that moment. So, in summary, Luke 12, 8 to 12 is telling us to publicly declare, not deny Christ, and God will be gracious to you. Publicly declare, not deny Christ, and God will be gracious to help you. Truth number one, based upon verses 8 and 9. Whoever declares Christ publicly is saved, but whoever denies Christ is not. Now that's a hard truth to swallow, but that is what the text says, and there's some explanation needed, and I think you'll see the reality of this. Look at verse 8. Jesus said, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." So whoever publicly confesses Jesus, who declares Jesus as his Lord and Savior, Jesus will testify before the angels of heaven that you are his. He will publicly recognize ownership of you as his child, as his follower. But verse 9, "But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." And that is a stark statement that really cannot be avoided. There's no way to change really what that clearly states. If somebody publicly denies Christ, then Christ will deny him in heaven. Christ will say to him, "I never knew you." So whether you declare or deny Christ reveals whether you are saved or not. And really that is true in many areas of our lives. For example, our life, if it does not give testimony that we belong to Christ, probably if our life testimony looks like an unsaved person, then there is great doubt whether that person is truly saved. A genuinely saved person, generally in their life, will show forth evidence that they are a child of God. There will be a difference in the way they live, in the way we live. And there will also be a difference in how we speak and what we speak about. Do we speak about Christ? Or do we not let people know that we are a follower of Jesus Christ? So whether you declare Christ or deny Christ reveals whether you are saved or not. Now, I do need to make some explanation of that. This is not just saying words one time. So this is not just a one-time instance. If you declare Christ once, then that's an evidence you're saved, and now you can live like an unsaved person the rest of your life. It's not just a one-time confession of Christ, and it's not just a one-time denial of Christ. It's your life testimony. Jesus is describing a life that publicly declares Christ or denies Christ. Now, immediately, one example that comes to our minds is the example of Peter, who denied Christ. Now, what about those like him who, under pressure, and maybe they were threatened or tortured, and then they denied Christ? the issue that verses 8 and 9 that Jesus is talking about is, what is our life practice? Was that Peter's life practice to deny Christ? Or was that a momentary failure? So what verses 8 and 9 is talking about is our life practice after salvation. An example in church history about that is Thomas Cranmer. He was arrested along with his dear friends, Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley, and he watched in horror as they were burned at the stake for their faith. And in the days and weeks following, Cranmer was put under great pressure to also, not also, but to renounce his faith in Jesus Christ. And finally, after all these brutal interrogations, he did sign letters denouncing his gospel convictions. But later, in fact, very soon, his conscience really convicted him that he had sinned against the Lord, and he had signed something that he in his heart did not agree with. So on March 21, 1556, he was put in front of a whole group of people at a church, and the Catholic Church expected him to publicly denounce the gospel. But instead of publicly denouncing the gospel, he publicly denounced those letters that he had signed, and he said this, quote, "For as much as my hand offended in writing contrary to my heart, therefore my hand shall first be punished. For if I come to the fire, it shall be first burned." And that is what he did. After he proclaimed his commitment to Jesus Christ and salvation by grace through faith, they rushed at him, they took him out, they burned him at the stake, but Cranmer thrust his hand first in the fire. So he denied Christ momentarily, but he repented of that and declared Christ once again. Likewise, Peter denied Christ, but he repented of that and he declared Christ once again. Both these men had a life of declaring Jesus Christ. They had acts of denying Christ, but they had a life of declaring Christ. And that's what verses 8 and 9 is describing. That the overall testimony of your life, whether you speak about Christ or deny Christ, is revealing whether you are saved or not. Now let's go to verse 10. Verse 10 seems to contradict verses 8 and 9. Regarding the importance of not denying Christ. Verse 10 reads, "And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven." So truth number two, whoever rejects the Spirit's testimony about Christ will not be forgiven. But whoever speaks a word against Christ can be forgiven if he repents. So, how can verse 9 and 10 be reconciled? There is a difference. We already saw that verses 8 and 9 are describing what? A moment of denying Christ. One occasion of denying Christ? No, it's describing a life of denying Christ. Commentator Dale Bach explains about verse 9, the aorist participle, the one who denies, functions as a summary description of a life of denial. Verses 8 and 9 is about a life of denial. And also commentator James Edwards said about verse 9, "The implication is that condemnation before the judgment seat of God will be rendered on the basis of a pattern in life history, unquote. A pattern in life history. So verses 8 and 9 is describing what our pattern in life should be. Is your pattern, is my pattern in life to be declaring Jesus Christ? If our pattern in life is to be denying Jesus Christ, to not speak about him, then we do have to examine whether we are genuinely saved people. But verse 10 says, whosoever shall speak a word against Christ. And that is very specific. Speaks a word against Christ. That is describing a momentary failure to speak as we ought to. An uncharacteristic act, such as Peter did in denying Christ and Thomas Cranmer in those moments, but that was not their usual life practice, and surely was not their heart conviction. And since they repented, Jesus promises in verse 10, it shall be forgiven him. So, sometimes we do fail to speak as we ought to speak. But if we repent and ask God to forgive us for failing to speak up like we ought to and confess Christ before men, then it shall be forgiven us. In contrast to verse 10a is part B of verse 10. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is also described in Matthew 12 and Mark 3 as saying that the Spirit's working through Jesus is actually Satan's working through Jesus. The blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is not a one-time act of rejection. It is a persistent and final rejection of the Spirit's testimony concerning Jesus. The Spirit of God tells unsaved people that Jesus is God and that his blood is the only way to have sins forgiven. And he rose from the dead. And if somebody persistently and finally rejects the Spirit's testimony about who Jesus is and what Jesus did, then there is no possibility of forgiveness. They have rejected the only way that they can be forgiven. They have rejected Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And in the context, the scribes had heard Jesus' teaching again and again. They had seen Jesus' miracles multiple times. And despite all of that, they were firm in their rejection of Jesus Christ. And in fact, saying words that were attributing the Holy Spirit's work through Jesus to Satan. So if a person persistently and permanently rejects the evidence concerning who Jesus is and what Jesus did, then there is no other way that they can be forgiven. So that is truth number two. Whoever rejects the Spirit's testimony about Christ will not be forgiven. But whoever speaks a word against Christ or fails to speak for Christ can be forgiven if he repents. And if I were to summarize those two in a different way, God will be gracious to those whose life declares their faith in Christ. If your life, in general, the words you say and the life you live, does confess Jesus Christ before people, then someday Jesus Christ will claim you in heaven as and identify you as his. Secondly, God will be gracious to forgive momentary failures to speak for him if we repent. Thirdly, this is now verse 11 and 12, God will be gracious to show you what you ought to say. He will help us if we surrender our will to open our mouths and to confess Jesus Christ before an unsaved person, then God will help us. God will graciously help us to know what to say. So main truth number three, when you speak for Jesus, the Holy Spirit will teach you. Verse 11. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. And once again, we may never be in this exact situation where we are in front of hostile government officials who are against Jesus Christ and the gospel. But I think there's a principle here that this situation is describing a very serious and fierce situation, and the Holy Spirit will teach you in that same hour what you ought to say. And we may not be in that kind of fierce, serious, deadly situation, but God will still help us. If we're in a lesser situation, God will help us. And this does not discount the need to learn how to present the gospel and take some evangelism training and learn that. But it does tell us, it does encourage us with the fact that God wants to help us. If we are trying to honor the Lord and we open our mouths and at least try to say as much as we know of what to say, the Lord will help us. And he will use it in other people's lives. God will be gracious to teach you and to show you what you ought to say. So let's recap this. Number one, publicly confess Christ, speak about Christ, not deny him. If your life publicly declares, not denies Christ, then God will be gracious to you because that's an evidence that your heart is truly regenerated. And if you speak to hostile authorities, God will graciously give you what to say. In summary, publicly declare, not deny Christ, and God will be gracious to you. We do not need to fear. God will help us. And God is with us. And God will recognize us for, from our heart, doing what we can, saying what we should, to speak about Jesus Christ. And if we fail, then God will forgive us. But if you have failed to speak about Jesus Christ, like we all have at times, that is not an excuse to say, well, I failed him once, so I can never do this again. I can never try again. Peter denied Christ, but he repented of that, and he started speaking about Jesus Christ again. And that's the same thing we need to do. We all fail at times to speak about Christ like we should. But if we fail and we repent, God will forgive us and help us to be more faithful to him in the future. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you that you are gracious and good to us. Lord, we do pray that you would help us to let Jesus Christ rule our hearts. Help us to be filled with joy and devotion to Jesus Christ, so that out of the abundance of the heart, we would speak instead of fearing to speak about you. Again, Lord, we thank you that you are gracious when we confess our sins and failures to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that you are gracious to help us even if we don't feel as equipped as we should or as knowledgeable as we should, that you are gracious to help us when we obediently open our mouths to speak a word for you. So we do pray that you help us to claim your grace and to be faithful to speak about Jesus Christ and not deny him. In his name we pray. Amen.